Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction.
Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 38 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the pumpkin-eating gratitudinal creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And today, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, which is a couple of days away for those of us living in the U.S. So here's a funny question. Do Canadians celebrate Thanksgiving? I'm thinking not, but now I'm starting to doubt myself. Like, right as I was saying, those of us living in the U.S., my mind, like, split off and started arguing with itself, like, I don't know, in America, the U.S., I don't know. Oh, to kick off my show with a little airhead moment. It's great to be alive. Gosh, I'm already doing this silly this morning for you. And I wanted to play a song for you at the end of the show, which I will, but I just, in my little funny moment of laughing at myself, whacked my computer and lost that page. I'll try to bring it up because it's a cute little song. Anyway, last week I ended my second show because remember I did two shows last week about how to perform a glamour. I ended the second one by saying that I was going to be talking about gratitude this week, and that somehow devolved into a whole train wreck of an ending in which I, kind of like the train wreck of the beginning of today's show, in which I mentioned the whole Thanksgiving shaming posts that have become so popular on the internet the past few years, and for good reason. Not going to say it's not good food for thought. But I'm actually glad I mentioned it because we had a nice little discussion on Facebook about that, and the general consensus seems to be that it is good to have an awareness of the tragedy that this holiday was originally built on and to have respect for our Native American ancestors, but that it's also quite all right to continue the traditions of our own families in the spirit of love, good food, and, of course, gratitude. So that is what I'm going to do today. And if you find Thanksgiving offensive, besides this little opening, I don't think you'll find the rest of the show offensive because I'm really just going to be talking about gratitude and giving thanks, which could apply to any day of the year. Although I have to talk about, even if I say that, my own history with Thanksgiving because I think it's significant what I'm trying to say here. Thanksgiving in my family has always been one of the more wholesome holidays that we celebrate, if not the most wholesome, actually, in terms of being devoid of a lot of commercial trappings, you know, like the things we need to buy. We save that for the next day, Black Friday. Just kidding. Or not, I don't know. Some of us do that, go out shopping the next day. But seriously, for Thanksgiving, we really just focus on gathering around, you know, all the aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents to eat the food that is traditional in my family history. We always eat the same thing every single year. And we might play a little softball, weather permitting, or some card games, and then we would pray. And now I'm using the past tense here because our Thanksgiving has kind of fallen apart in recent years. My grandparents died many years ago, but we kept it going after that for a long time until my mom moved overseas to be a missionary, and she was kind of like the honorary party-planning matriarch of the family that, like, got us all together. And then also different cousins grew up to have families of their own. and have their own little celebrations. So our group just kept getting smaller and smaller, which may be why I am more sentimental about this time than ever. But I mentioned the prayer part because I wanted to talk about that in terms of today's show, because even though my family is extremely religious and I am the black sheep in a very large, tight-knit family of Christians, and even though we were extremely religious growing up and we prayed many, many, many times a day, we prayed before every meal, we prayed before going to school, we prayed during Bible study, we prayed before we went to bed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the Thanksgiving prayer had a different quality to it. It was special. It had like a charge to it. So, for example, before each meal growing up, every single day when I was very, very small, the standard prayer we did was, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for this food. Amen. And it often would just come out, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for this food. Amen. We might get in trouble for that and have to slow it down. But it really didn't have a lot of meaning. It was just something that we said that we had to say to get the food. And then later, as we got older, we got to graduate to a more sophisticated prayer, which was, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed, which in the same style would turn into, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed. Amen. And then we would eat the food. And we said it all together. And it didn't really have a lot of meaning. I wasn't really feeling the gratitude in the moment or feeling grateful for the food that was placed before me or the grown-ups who prepared it. I was more just saying it because we always say it. I didn't even give it much thought. It wasn't something that I felt. But when we said our Thanksgiving prayer, it was really special because, well, for one of two reasons. My grandparents are German, and so sometimes they would say a German prayer that I totally don't. This is, if you speak German, you are going to laugh your ass off at me right now. But it went something like, save me, Father, Daisy, spicy, something, something, pricey, almond, something like that. And that would always really touch me and move me to hear my aunts and uncles and my mom and my grandparents saying this prayer. It kind of connected me to my ancestry, which we didn't really talk about being German. So that was like one little tiny thread connecting me to the old country. And it was just fascinating in a way that created a sense of awe and made me look around at my family and realize what I had. So that created a sense of wonder. And then more often than that, even, and a tradition that they carry on even today, is they would sing this song. And I have to say, my mom, her sister, and one of her brothers, they were like semi-famous in certain circles in Bakersfield and around Bakersfield when they were growing up, and even to this day, because they would sing in a trio and they can harmonize really beautifully. And the rest of the family could harmonize pretty well, too. So when they sang this prayer, they would all harmonize together. And it was like, ooh, you could feel the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. You may have heard this prayer before. It goes, I'm going to sing it really fast and not well for you. Praise God for whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, man, I totally screwed that up. But that's how it goes, generally speaking. And but it was far more beautiful. My family did it. And the point I'm getting at is that Thanksgiving prayer had a different tone to it. It had a higher vibration, if you will, than the rushed daily prayer we would mutter in unison over our food before we were allowed to eat. I was in awe of the sound of it, the way my mom and aunts and uncles, they fell into that perfect harmony. And just, it would bring me into the present moment in a different kind of way. And I would be present to the fact that we were all gathered around the table, standing and holding hands and smiling, and it created within me a deep feeling of appreciation. I felt thankful. I felt the gratitude in a way that absolutely permeated my entire being. And I'm pretty sure that everyone else in the room felt it too. And that is the magic of gratitude. It is something that must be felt. It can't just be like a gratitude list that you write down because you're trying to attract good things into your life, which is really just sort of like the new age version of that prayer that I was doing as a kid. You know, you just say it really fast so you can get the good stuff, so you can get the food. There's really no magic in that, and you might as well not waste your time if that's what you're going to do. But as I wrote on my blog this morning, I'm a person who believes in the power of gratitude, real gratitude that you feel. I believe in its power to transform your life, to transform who you are, to transform the moment. There is real magic in feeling gratitude and feeling grateful. It has an attractive quality that, in the spirit of like attracts like, goes to work energetically to bring even more grace into your life. And in that way, it is directly linked to the law of attraction. It is the law of attraction. So when you feel gratitude, you receive more to feel grateful for. And that might not even be in the form of more possessions or positive experiences. It may just be that your eyes become opened wider and wider to all the beauty that is in and all around you, so that you begin to see on a whole other level things that you didn't even notice before. And this is something that happens when you keep a gratitude journal. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever kept a gratitude journal? It's a pretty popular thing to do in the New Age community. And I think that's because it's actually a really powerful tool. And in case you don't know what a gratitude journal is, basically it's a journal that you keep next to your bed typically, and typically you would write in it at night before going to sleep. And you are supposed to write 5 things. Some people say 3, some people say 10. We'll just keep it at even 5 for today. You're supposed to write 5 things that you are grateful for that happened or that you noticed that day. And that sounds simple enough, but and it is in terms of the time commitment that it requires and the lack of complexity involved. It is simple in that way. But like I said, it has a magic all its own as well, and it's the kind of magic that can truly be transformational. Which is something that I have learned firsthand. I have kept many gratitude journals in my life. I've gone through periods where I've kept them consistently as a practice every single day, and then I've kept just like a random one for random moments of, funny enough, I turn to it not when I'm feeling grateful. I turn to it when I'm really upset and when life sucks and everybody sucks and everything is sucky. I have enough experience, you know, practicing the law of attraction and gratitude and all this stuff to know that I can get myself out of that state no matter what is going on, even if it really does suck. I can transform the moment and get some new energy going by turning to my gratitude journal. And that's something that you're just going to have to take my word on for now, but I urge you to go practice it yourself if you haven't yet, because it really has a powerful way of shifting your energy. And you can enter your room one person angry, pissed off, hating the world, feeling like you have nothing to live for, and if you do it right, if you do it with an open heart and you genuinely sit there thinking of things that you are grateful for, not just thinking of things you're grateful for, but feeling grateful for those things, you can leave the room with a light heart and a light spirit and a totally different person than how you entered the room. And some people I've heard, once they get a gratitude journal and they try to start a practice like this, they find it hard to write down things they are grateful for, which I think is a sad commentary on how little, how we are taught these things, you know, when we're not taught to do this, and as grown-ups, some of us are learning how to do this for the very first time. And some people can struggle to come up with even three things that they are grateful for. So if you are one of those people and you decide to keep a gratitude journal, which I highly recommend, just start with, I am grateful for the breath in my lungs. I am grateful for my feet. I am grateful that there is a roof over my head. Like, just really simple things, and just start there. And the interesting thing is that once you start and once you get rolling, you might not be able to stop. And that's what I was saying earlier about your eyes become wider. Like, you start to think of all kinds of things that you're grateful for in your life. And one of my gratitude journals, I remember I was allowed 10. I had like 10 little hearts in a row, which shows how totally girly I am. And it was in pink ink, I'll have you know. I'd have like 10 little pink hearts all down the page, and then I wanted to write 10 things I was grateful for, and I would actually get frustrated because the Joanna Peabody perfectionist in me would come out, because I'd get to the end and I'd be like, oh no, I have more things to write, and then I'd have to like mess up the next day's perfect page. But it's all in good fun. I'm just making fun of myself. I love doing the gratitude journal, and it's lots of fun, and you notice that sometimes it has this self-perpetuating effect of where you just start noticing more and more and more things that you're grateful for. And then another thing that it does that has a kind of magical quality to it is if you practice regularly. And if you're gonna, if you've never done a gratitude journal, I recommend giving yourself like 30 days. Just for 30 days, every night, you're going to write down 5 things that you're grateful for at the end of the day. So if you're doing that and if you're practicing regularly, you will start to notice that it has an effect on the next day. You'll start noticing things that you are grateful for and that you're going to write down in your book at the end of the day. So it changes your vision. So yes, it does in terms of like attracts like. It does have that power to it. It does have the magic of bringing things and situations to you. But I think what is even more valuable than that is that it just brings that more open perspective, the ability to notice what is going on your life on a whole other level. And let me give you an example, because I feel like I'm talking kind of abstractly about this, about it opening your eyes. I mean, your figurative eyes. I mean, your heart. So let's say you take your husband for granted and you're picking at him all the time for not taking out the trash or for leaving hair in the drain of the shower or for not capping the toothpaste properly or just little things, you know, you're like nitpicking. Getting into a space of gratitude for your husband, making a gratitude list just for your husband, it can improve your marriage. It can make you realize these things that you're picking on are so minor and unimportant compared to the things that you actually feel grateful for, that he gets up every single day and goes to a job to make money to help contribute to supporting your family, that he, you know, makes a meal for the family, he'll make some food, that he's funny, that he tells great jokes, that he makes you feel sexy and special, important, whatever it is. The gratitude journal is great for people. It's great for if you have a boss that you don't like, you know, or a job that you hate, making lists of things you're grateful for, even if they have to be the most basic things like pays my bills, which is not very romantic and exciting, but why don't you make a list beyond pays my bills? Pays my bills, what does that do? What does that mean? That means that gives you some freedom. That keeps you out of jail. That keeps you off the streets. You can grow on one little point like that and get into gratitude pretty quickly. And, you know, your kids, this is a great thing to do with your kids. Same thing like with the husband. If you're nitpicking at your kids or only seeing what's wrong with them or how they make your life more stressful, it can really turn that around for you, because energy goes, what is it, attention goes, oh, what is this saying? What is that saying? Let me think about it for a second. Energy flows where attention goes. So what you put your attention on is going to grow. Like attracts like. So focus on what you're grateful for, and you will get more of that. And like I said, you will see more of that. And when you do gratitude that is truly felt and not just like scribbled on a piece of paper or said like a prayer that you've memorized, gratitude that you've truly felt becomes gratitude in action. It changes who you are. It changes the actions that you take and how you behave in the world, and therefore it changes the way the world responds to you. And I think that Alice Walker was alluding to that when she said that great quote, "Thank you is the best prayer that anyone could say." I say that one a lot. I love that quote. I put that at the bottom of, I do these witch lists on my blog where usually they're holiday based, and I did one for Thanksgiving. I think it's still on the homepage of my blog if you want to go check it out, but it's cute, cool things you can buy on Etsy that are related to being grateful. And then I put that quote on from Alice Walker. "Thank you is the best prayer that anyone could say." I say that one a lot. Saying thank you, giving thanks, feeling appreciation, practicing gratitude. Some people might say that these feelings had different qualities to them, that there is a difference between appreciation and gratitude, for example. Esther Hicks, the woman who channels Abraham Hicks and is a big leader in the Law of Attraction movement, she says that. She believes that appreciation and gratitude are not the same, that gratitude is primarily the feeling one gets after having overcome or being relieved of something negative or out of vibrational alignment with who one really is. So, like, it's still attached to that icky thing that you're grateful that it's no longer in your life. It's kind of a strange way of looking at it, in my opinion. But she then says that appreciation is more in alignment with that vibration and with the experience of God, source energy, what have you. That appreciation is about being tuned in, tapped in, and turned on. It's about being in vibrational alignment with source and a perfect match to that which you desire. And this is one point on which I will have to disagree with Esther. I mean, I do agree that being in appreciation is magical and that that is the sweet spot in the Law of Attraction. It is, as she says, being tuned in, tapped in, and turned on. But for me, so is gratitude. So is feeling thankful. They're all one and the same for me. Maybe they have, like, different colors or flavors, but they're basically the same for me, and I believe that you can go either way on that depending on your own personal point of view and the experience that you have had of life so far. And Robert Ajado, he said something once that really struck me about channeling, about people that channel spirits and give us these spiritual messages. And it stuck with me because I have quite a bit of experience myself with channeling. I used to do it a lot for my own amusement and spiritual exploration. And then, of course, I am a fan of Abraham Hicks. But when I say that I'm a fan of anyone, that doesn't mean that I just blindly follow whatever they say or that I agree with everything that they have to say. It means that I enjoy them as a person and I respect their point of view, and I can learn a lot from someone without, like, being their clone. So anyway, this thing that Robert Ajado said about channeling really struck a chord with me in regards to what I'm trying to talk about here, and that is that people do have the ability to channel spiritual information, but it is being delivered in their own language in a form that they can understand, which is why someone like Edgar Cayce, who was a devout Christian, he got his channeled information with a heavy dose of Jesus, and someone in the New Age community might get theirs with an emphasis on the Palladians, for example. So it's like pouring water, with the water being spirit, into a container, with the container being the channeler. The appearance of the water is going to be affected by the shape, size, color, and clarity of the glass. So, yes, maybe Esther Hicks is a container who feels one way about the word gratitude, and I am a container who feels another. To me, it is just spiritual semantics. But for today, I'm going to use the word gratitude to include feelings of appreciation and thankfulness. And you can use them however you want. I'm just throwing that out there to spare confusion, and because I know people like to sometimes nitpick over these things. So, and in saying that, I mean no disrespect to Esther Hicks, who has been a very important messenger, if you will, on my own journey, especially when it comes to learning the power of gratitude. It is from her that I learned how to make a list of positive aspects and to go on a rampage of appreciation. The rampage of appreciation is awesome. That's something that I do in my car with my son when we get stuck in traffic. I've talked about this on the show before, but anytime you're going to be stuck in a line or in an uncomfortable position for a while, it can really spare you the road rage or just, you know, the impatience to sit there and list things that you are grateful for. And I actually was just doing it for myself. I did it all the time, and one day my son happened to be in the car, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm grateful for how blue the sky is, blah, 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 and I am grateful for whatever. And my son from the back of the car says, and I am grateful for golf balls. And it made me laugh and definitely changed the whole energy in the car, and we sat there, you know, doing it together. So that's now kind of our stuck in traffic tradition, but it can work anytime, anywhere, any place. It works really well when you're hating on somebody. It works really well if you're sitting, you know, at a doctor's appointment waiting your turn, although you might want to do it in your head in that situation or write it down on a piece of paper. I don't know. Maybe you can get the whole waiting room listing things they're grateful for. You never know. But I've found that getting into a state of gratitude or appreciation is the fastest way to turn any situation around. It makes you see things in a new way, see solutions that you wouldn't have seen otherwise, soften up on the people around you. And yes, like attracts like, so it's going to have the added benefit of creating more situations and things to be grateful for. So I hope that you have a very blessed week, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving or not. And that as we all travel through this upcoming holiday experience we are about to have right on through to the new year, that we are able to keep the spirit of gratitude in our hearts, keep that connection to our bliss, and a continual rampage of appreciation going for this crazy, beautiful life that we have been given. And, of course, for each other, I am grateful for each and every one of you. And I send you much love. Peace.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed.
Thank you for being a friend. Are you still there? That's Andrew Gold, Golden Girls theme song. And if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. I'm only able to do that because I know 99.99% of you have already shut this thing off. But to you stray 0.1 something percent of people who are still listening, much love to you. Mwah!